I mean, does Hajj get easier? No. There's a difficulty. There's a level of difficulty in there which is always going to be there. If Hajj was easy, everybody would be doing it. Then it would not sift out the pure from the impure, the serious from the non-serious. The heat that's there, the distances, the difficulties, the crowds. It's there for a reason. Last year I was going through this immense heat and I was thinking, why did Allah choose this place? Well, obviously if it was a walk in the park, everybody would do it. But this is supposed to be a struggle through which great rewards are given, and is given to those who persevere through it. It's an absolute blessing to have been there, because it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inviting selected individuals to His place. And then after that, if we come back and start complaining about it, then that's a massive injustice. It's just a massive injustice. So, even after doing it so many times, it doesn't get easier on that level. It only gets easier because you know what to expect. The first time you go and you go at the airport and suddenly they take your passport away, you felt like you've lost a child. Like, what's your problem? Why are you taking my passport away? And then somebody tells you, don't worry, they'll give it back, it's safe. So it starts right from there. And then there's, okay, then if you're in Medina Munawwara first, you've got a decent hotel and everything, it's okay. If you don't have a decent hotel and something's wrong with the other, then you're dealing with all of that problem. Medina Munawwara, mashallah, it's like you're in your mother's lap. It's just such a wonderful place, exuding its great beauty and the rahmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still effuses everything that is there. People are calm, people are relaxed. There's none of the heat that you find in Makkah, the jalal and the majesty that you find in Makkah. None of that is there. So it's a whole different experience there. You get to Makkah, and especially with all the work that's going on right now, you don't even know where to go. Like, you don't know where to enter from, and it takes you some days to even just get used to finding a place, and you can't personalize Makkah to you. Makkah is just too majestic. You can't. With Medina Munawwara, you get some control there, you know, of where to go, where to sit, a particular place and designation. When it comes to Makkah, Makkah just destabilizes you. It's just all about purifying, right? Medina Munawwara does it with soft power, and the power is hard in Makkah Mukarrama, right? It's a whole different experience down there. And then after that, you just get used to that, and then you go to Mina. And when you get to Mina, you have your 2 foot of space, and you've got your ihram on, and suddenly you feel homesick because you don't have the luxuries that you want anymore. You want to be careful that you don't touch perfume and you don't do this and you don't do that. And you start missing your possessions because we love our possessions so much. So when we're away from even our normal garments, you feel like a fish out of water. You literally feel like the first time you do this. And then you could be the wealthiest guy or the poorest person. You're all day in these 2 white garments in that extreme heat, and you're sleeping in these tents in Mina. All of that is a different experience. So it really shakes you. It really makes you think and introspect. And that's why, with all the mercies that are coming down, showering down in Mina, where your Mina is a place, the whole name Mina, Muna means ambitions, desires. They're to be fulfilled down there. That's the point from which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did all of his Arafah and Muzdalifah. You go to Arafah to gain some recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah causes the mercies to descend. So you go and you just take from that mercy. Allah is giving you a blank check on that day. You can write on it as much as you think Allah will give you. And Allah can give you as much as... So you're only limited by your own limitations, essentially. Then you come to Muzdalifah. You stay there in the open night. And this year it was hotter than any other year that I've been. Normally you can sleep in Muzdalifah because you're tired from the wukuf of the day of Arafah. But it was so hot and sweaty that it was difficult to even sleep. And it's only going to get hot in the next few years. So, yes, you know, if you've been before, it helps because you know what to expect. Then you know not to rush. You know that you've got time. You know that your focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not getting up first on the bus. Or reaching first to some place. Or to argue with somebody. People do all sorts of weird things. Our group, by order of the muallim, by agreement with them, was given the right to leave first from Mina to Arafat. Another group played they put an old woman with kids in the front so that people would have compassion for them and try to get them on first. So people do these weird things, even though officially he was not supposed to go first. So people do all of these weird things, and they shouldn't be doing that. Because the whole point is that you have enough hours, you will get to the place, albeit you'll get maybe there a bit later. So these are the experiences. Now, people who die there, obviously it's a massive tragedy, and it's a massive tragedy because I had a friend from Sri Lanka who was who went had to go around to all the hospitals in Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarramah, looking for some extended family of his that had disappeared and they couldn't find them. So you don't know if they're alive, you don't know if they've died, you don't know if they're wounded, you don't know. So yes, there's all of that, but clearly anybody who's died is a shaheed, because what better state? Not that we ask for it in that sense, and not that people want to ask for it, but if they do, then what better state? They were going to go maybe 20 years afterwards, or maybe 50 years after, they've just gone earlier. But then they've gone in a way that would be better than going on your bed. Because it's in Makkah, it's in Mina, it's during the Hajj, with Ihram on. With Ihram on. That's a form of Shahada in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So though people may not wish for it, but if it happens, then this is the way to look at these things. And yes, things should be improved, and there has been massive improvements. There have been. So this didn't happen at the Jamarat, it happened on one of the lanes leading towards it and distance away. Because I don't think that the Jamarat has enough, mashallah, now bandwidth to be able to deal with huge crowds. You've got five floors of this humongous structure that you could probably play about 10 football matches, 20 football matches in that place if they were to rent it out for the rest of the year. As they'd probably do in a Western country. I was actually looking at that, I thought if that was in a Western country, they would have probably shaped the shaitan in some kind of weird devilish look instead of the straight walls that we have. Or kind of painted something on it if it was in the hands of the Catholics, as they've done in the Vatican. But these are just straight walls. Subhanallah. You've got people, I thought this was just a joke, but you've got people who, somebody from my group told me that they heard somebody in front of them in Punjabi or Urdu or whatever, giving them the B's and the P's or whatever it is. I couldn't believe it. You know, it's like you have caused me problems all my life, and the swearing at the shaitan, as though shaitan is really there. It's just like the other person who goes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he's been told it's the house of Allah. He goes up to the house of Allah. Hey Allah, keep going out. Kaise ho bhai? You know? It's just, you get all sorts of people who've come with their own little stories, individual feelings and emotions. It's quite an amazing place. Like, you don't know the next person to you what they're thinking. You can't tell from their state. It could be very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just don't know. That's why you don't mess with people. At all. It's a very amazing place. Because at the end of the day, you've got 1.8 billion Muslims around the world, out of which about 2 million, what proportion is that, are able to come for the Hajj? Can you imagine what kind of chosen, you know, what kind of choice has been made there? It's quite amazing. It's quite amazing. It's very humbling, in fact. It's very humbling.
is very humbling. So the tragedy took place on Eid, the Yawm al-Nahr. I was in charge of the qurbanis for my group of people. And I had no time to hear. People were saying, do you know there's a problem? I said, look, I don't know there's a problem. I just then pulled out my phone and had received a text from home, so I quickly responded, alhamdulillah, we're fine. Right, that was enough. In fact, I still haven't seen many of the pictures. I need to sit down and maybe look at that. I just haven't been able to see because we're so busy to look at all of that. You don't want to be distracted by looking at these tragedies. You don't want to be distracted by them. We make dua for our brothers and sisters. So that's what it is. It's an absolutely amazing experience. Allahu Akbar. It's amazing, isn't it? Because a haji, before he leaves, he seeks forgiveness from everybody. Forgive me, forgive me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a haji comes back, go and ask him to pray for forgiveness for you before he enters his house. So before he goes, he's asking him for forgiveness. When he comes back, others have to go and tell him to seek forgiveness for them. What a state. What a state. Most people don't know this. So I advise my group that, you know, when all these people come to pick you up at the airport, a lot of them are first timers. They're the ones who will come home and their family will come with hearts, with the necklaces for them. So I said, they're not gonna even tell you to make dua for them because they probably don't know. But you make forgiveness, you seek forgiveness for them. Because that's what you're supposed to do. That's why I got a message before I came back. Are you back yet? What time are you arriving home? So I had two brothers waiting for me outside my house before I got in. Because it says that you should tell the haji to seek forgiveness before he enters his house. Why that? Because once you enter your house, then you get engaged in your normal daily mundane routine. Ye bil barna, wo karna, ye karna, wo karna. And then you start losing the barakat. It's a very powerful experience. So don't wait to be pious to go there. You go there and to become pious. So a lot of people are waiting to get pious and they can go there until they retire. The one thing that any haji should be able to tell you is that do it when you're young. Otherwise you're going to be carried around and messed around. Do it when you're young. As soon as possible. Don't waste your time. It's only going to get more expensive and more difficult. Distances are increasing. Before you could get to the haram in 2 minutes. Now it takes at least 10 minutes. Because of the crowds, the mataf is massive now, the masjid is going to be just further away, hotels are just going to be further, taking the lifts just takes a long time now. It's not what it used to be. So don't think it's easy. You can have a 5-star package, but you're still going to have to walk. You're still going to have to walk. Yeah, within your hotel room, it's 5-star. You come outside, there's no 5-star. Just understand that. So you could have the best hotel, but you don't have a special entrance into the haram. You then go like everybody else. And some guys don't get it. I've got a 5-star hajj, I was promised this, that and the other. They start complaining. Brother, this is 5-star is only in the hotel. Not anywhere else. But seriously, do it as soon as possible. At least get your hajj out of the way. Then after that you can do as many more afterwards all your life. But the main hajj, just make sure you do it when you're young. Otherwise, when you do it when you're old and you get messed around, you become sick. So many people in our group became sick. And then after that somebody else has to go on stone for them. And there's people who are asking for fatwa to drop this and to drop that and to go home quickly and to do this and to do that. And Allahu Akbar. That place is a challenge. But it's a challenge for a reason, to sift the serious from the non-serious. Otherwise, a walk in the park may be no problem. Allah allow us to all go over and over again.